podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is Colin McGuigan for AFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. Delighted to be joined by Sean McCombe today. Sean, how's things?
I'm good, mate. Cheers for having me on. Just sitting here enjoying a cup of coffee. It's got a freezing out today, so to make the most of it.
Oh, that coldness in Belfast, it can't compare to New York at the minute. It's like -2 or something here. It's freezing. So it's just as bad. So obviously you've got a massive fight coming up. Your second time in the SSC, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's your second fight in the SSC. How did you get on in preparation?
Good, mate. I don't know what's going on. I don't feel like this has been the best camp, to be honest. I don't feel like it's been as high intensity and as hard as past. I don't know if that means I'm getting better or what, but in sparring and friend, like spars are easy now. Most spars are feeling getting out of them and they're easy. And honestly, I don't feel like I've given as much effort in this camp as I have in past camps, and that's down to obviously, I don't know, it's I've a lot going on, and like with my own gym and my family and being in Dublin, traveling back and forward and shit like that. But I haven't done like 2 sessions every day the way I used to do. Now my nutrition's been on point. With Stephen Floyd, I'm always on the ball with him, and I think that sort of makes half a battle. But I don't feel at this stage of the game, I'm usually fatigued and just fed up. I don't feel like it. I feel good. Like, although it hasn't been the best at camp, maybe it is, maybe it has been. Maybe this is what camp should feel like. Maybe this is what's about. And as I say, my main, the one thing that's not, the reason why I'm not like feeling down about it, not being the best at camps, like not training twice a day every day, is because I'm still performing so good sparring. Like I'm proper on it.
Is that testament to maybe the camps that you're having, that you're feeling more comfortable in this position now because you've been training hard with Pete in the last couple of camps and you've got more used to it now? And as you say, obviously your performance in sparring is testament to that then.
Yeah, 100%. Well, it's a sort of, in a way now, I've been with Pete long enough now that I've adopted the exact style that I want and that Pete wanted within me. Moving my feet, feinting, all the stuff that I was good at before I even turned pro as an amateur. And then still doing that over the longer rounds, 10, 12 rounds, still able to do that, still able to feint, still able to move my feet, and still perform doing that. And obviously the more I do that, the more muscle memory kicks in and the more it just becomes easier. And I feel maybe that's part of the reason as well.
I touched on it there, your second time in the SSC. You spoke to me before the last time and you said how excited you were to fight under the lights of the SSC because it's something that you'd always thought about growing up in the Belfast boxing scene. How was it for you that first time out? Did you enjoy it?
Unbelievable. Honestly, like, obviously I'm way down the fucking bottom of your bill and probably like nowhere near as good as atmosphere. And I said it before, and I'll say it again, like I don't belong down that far down the bill. I don't believe I should be down there. I should be up there when the arena is busy. I always bring good support and I always have exciting fights. But as I said, even though I was that far down the bill and before the TV slots and all the rest of it, it was still an unbelievable atmosphere for what was there at that time. And I can't really put into words like, but it's when it boxed in the Falls Park, I always said it was unbelievable, but it was near enough as good as that. It was probably better because it was an arena with a roof on it, you know what I mean? And as it says, the Falls Park had maybe a bit more atmosphere at the time because people were just peeling the park when the doors opened. It's different down the Odyssey. They obviously don't start peeling the about 8 o'clock, but it was still unbelievable. And I know this time I'm further up a bill, and it'll be an even busier arena. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Well, that's what I was going to touch on. Obviously, yeah, you had that fight last time. You were early on the bill. You seemed a bit not upset about it, but you knew that you belonged higher up the bill. This time around, you're going to be much higher up the bill. Do you think that plays into your advantage then in front of a bigger crowd in the SSE?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like I'll be more dialed in. I'll not be making mistakes. So like the atmosphere will obviously have a big part in that. I think I've learned in the past that I can get carried away with the atmosphere, but it's always in the back of my mind and not get carried away. Although the Ulster Hall is a way, way smaller venue than the SSC, the atmosphere carries the same. It's right on top of you, and that's where I learned like not to get carried away with myself when maybe I land a shot and going in because the crowd is going, there's an uproar from the crowd and you're going in and you haven't even hurt your opponent yet. You know what I mean? So I don't want to be giving anything like that away, which is always in the back of my mind. And I think that's good experience to carry into these big arena fights. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what it's like with a stacked crowd.
I do have to ask you because you've got like this special bond with a Belfast crowd. You seem to have this army of travelling support to just go with you wherever you are, whenever you fight, even in that the tough times of your career, whenever you lost that fight. What is it? What's made that bond?
I don't know. I think I'm just still. I've never separated myself from anyone in Belfast. I've never. Although, like, growing up, I always ran a bit with crowds of mates and ran a bit in big groups with groups of people. And they're still my mates. I'm still in group chats. I'm still. Like, I'm never going to separate myself from people in Belfast. I still go to all the same local bars. I don't. You know what I mean? Like, after a fight, I'll still have a pint with the same people. And I'm still on social media and I reply to every single person that messages me. I text people who are, I still sell tickets. I still go on, like, you know what I mean? I have a gym in Belfast where I have loads of members coming in there to greet them the same, as treat them the same. I just treat everyone the same. And I just try and be as nice to people as I can. And if they like me, the 9 times out of 10, they'll say, when's your next fight? I'm going on the back. I definitely want to go. I'll definitely get tickets. Definitely get tickets. Wherever it may be, it could be in the bar, it could be in the shop, it could be a shopkeeper, it could be my next door neighbor, it could be someone passing by with their dog. And that's just because even if I don't know them and I know their face, I'll still greet them. I'll say, well, all right, how's it going? Because I know they know my face, especially if they're from Belfast. And I think that goes a long way.
You've came a long way from the public nuisance title. I don't know if it suits you as much anymore because there was a time whenever it did suit you. But see now, like you're a family man. You've obviously got your girlfriend. You've got the kid. Have you settled down a bit now?
I My bird has a tight leash on me now, so there's no time to be a public nuisance. She has a tight leash on me. Like, as I say, I'm more about a balance and lifestyle now between. I give so much time to my career with being in Dublin. I give so much time to a gym. I very rarely give time to my family. So, whereas times before, I would have just had boxing. And then my downtime. And my downtime is where I spent it with my mates, or I spent it on holidays, or I spent it doing whatever the fuck I want to do. And that's where the nuisance came into it. So I think now it's just, there's no time. There's no time to be a nuisance. This is it. There's just no time. Unless I'm away on one of the lads' stags or I'm away somewhere, like you might see that side of me coming out. But as I say, I spend all my downtime now with my family, and that's more important to me.
Obviously, what can we expect from you on the 10th of December? What type of performance will Sean McCombe put on in front of the fans?
You know what? I obviously haven't gotten the point yet, so I don't know what style I'm fighting against, which is a wee bit frustrating. In fact, it's not a wee bit frustrating, it's just fully fucking frustrating. But I've got my style. I've worked on stuff with Pete, like what we're talking about, for over a year now, and I know exactly what he wants me to do, and I know he knows exactly what I'm good at, and I'm just going to focus on doing that and let Pete dictate the tactics in each round, because whatever Pete says, I do, because he has such an eye for spotting weaknesses or spotting openings within a fighter, and I have full trust on even going into fight night with tactics on the night. Or in between rounds, rather than doing it for weeks and weeks on end. So I'm just expecting a really fast, explosive, skillful, like just me. I'm just expecting a Sean McCombe performance. That's all, like skillful, fast, and technical.
With what's happened, Pete, what has happened, Pete, and will he be in the corner in December time?
I don't, well, Pete, he was someone had mugged him. I think over in Barcelona, he gave chase and whatever happened, he jumped down a flight of steps as the guy was getting off, and I think he ruptured both his calf muscles. Had to go straight in for an operation. He has two plates in the back of his legs where he can't straighten them out. Two casts on. But they reckon at the time it happened, they says his legs are going to be straight for 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, then they can get the plates out, then he can go on the 90-degree angle, sort of in a wheelchair. Pete's sort of trying to see if he can go into the corner but stay down with wheelchair access and just give tactics from where he's sitting. And then have the number two screamer up and down, give him water, Pete give him instructions, which I would be overly happy with because, as it says already, Pete's eye for spotting openings and spotting like technical errors between you and your opponent is second to none, and it's you would pay him for that alone.
But before I let you go, Sean, there's a massive card. Well, it's not confirmed yet, but it's all but confirmed in Croke Park. Katie Taylor's on the card. Is that a card that you and your management and Leighton will be looking at and trying to get you on in the new year? Or is that something maybe you don't think that you want to go down that route?
No, well, I think every Irish fighter and is coming out from under the woodwork now. I like to try and get on that show. I think it makes sense. It's going to be a historic fight. It's going to be the only fight that's ever happened there. Katie Taylor coming home, homecoming with Katie Taylor, an icon, Irish icon, and a hero amongst Irish people. And obviously, I want to run up, but I'm not going to run about and squeal and shout about, like asking and asking and asking. If they want to, if Eddie Hearn wants to put me on, he can put me on. If he wants me to fight one of his fighters, I'll fight one of his fighters, whether it be Dalton Smith or whoever it may be at that time. There's good fights already made, and I'm fully open. Ray Moylett, he's looking on it. I would have a domestic fight with Ray Moylett if that's what they want. But I'm, like as I say, I'm not going to run about shouting and asking and asking and asking for favors. No one owes no one anything in this game, and I'll be putting it out there that I'll fight any of them people. But I'll not be saying, please put me on it, please put me on it. I'm sure Lee Eaton has other plans as well if it doesn't happen. So as long as I'm kept busy and as long as I'm progressing, I don't really care where I fit. Fight in the Green Hut if I have to. Give me one of
Oof.
these YouTube fighters. I'll take one of them for the big money instead.
What do you think of that whole team?
What? I have to take my hat off to it. It's genius. And although I can't really dot it with boxing. I can't really put it on the same level. Like some of the fights now, Jake Paul, fair enough, actually can say that Jake Paul knows now how to box, maybe at a novice level. But he's progressed from where he was. He's doing bits. He's making money. He's making TV. He's making people's like know his name more and more and more. Like I didn't know who Jake Paul was until he joined boxing. I didn't watch YouTube. So now he has two audiences, one on YouTube or maybe, and one on boxing. Every boxer knows who Jake Paul is now, and I can honestly say that a year and a half ago I didn't have a clue who Jake Paul was. And then even KSI, I didn't know who KSI was until about 6 months ago. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, they're doing their thing. I wouldn't call it boxing in the same context as myself or any other professional elite fighter. But I do, like, if it was on in Belfast, I'd go and watch it 100%. It's entertaining in its own way, but it's not what your average boxing fan wants to see. It's just a completely different sport to me, and it's interesting.
That's an interesting take on it. Well, look, Sean, thank you very much for your time. We'll catch up on Fight Week. We can't wait to see you back in the SSE and look forward to speaking to you then, mate. Thank you.
Happy days, mate. Take it easy. Cheers, lad.
Sports Social Podcast Network.